Hello, my rapping family. Today we have a very special show for you, all the way from Vespa Berlin. It is recorded at the show with a very special man. There is some background sounds and music, but it is still awesome information, and it was a beautiful chat to have with Joffrey from Pro Raps. He really goes in and tells it how he sees it and his way of the rapping business and his history. So I'm gonna leave you to it. Lay back or put your headphones on if you're rapping and listen to this awesome story, the story of Joffrey from Pro Raps. Let's rap talk. Welcome to the show, Mr. Joffrey from Pro Raps.
Yes, live at Vespa. This
yes,
is awesome, man.
We wow. are.
Yes.
Finally. It's good to have you here.
Yes, after all these long waiting months.
Yeah. Tryouts.
Yes, yes, yes.
But hey, that's the way. If yes. you're busy, you're busy. That's
I know.
Just the way
we're
it
both
is.
Busy, so that's the whole thing.
That's good news.
Yeah.
So, I thought I was going to start out by saying what I know of you. We haven't met each other so many times. You are, to me, the Dutch happy guy that's always at the shows doing great designs and raps with...
That's what I like to do, you know, designing and create stuff that people like and think about, you know, what they see and how I created it. That's what I like. People stare at it like artwork.
It is artwork.
Yeah, it is.
So I thought to start the pod the right way, I thought I'd give you 3 minutes to give me your bio about yourself prior to getting into the rapping business. So who was Joffrey before you started rapping?
Before I was at school, of course, like everybody, till 18 years. I quit school and I started at a sign company. Worked there for 9 years. It was like everything, trailers, wall graphics, car wraps. And after 9 years, another company bought me away from that one. Worked there for 1 year because it was only doing wall wraps, but it was not the intention at the first time. So I quit there after 1 year and started freelancing for all the sign companies in Holland.
It was too boring to do walls.
Yeah, it was super boring. Yeah, they promised to do car wraps and designs, but I only was doing wall wraps, but was not the intention. So 1 year was enough for me. Yeah.
So you started off in a sign company, right?
Yes, like I think like everybody does.
Most of us,
that's
yes.
the basics you have to learn before you want to be a car wrapper.
You know, when you started there, the first months, you thought of it as, I like this, I'm going to stick to this, or you just needed a job. How was it for you?
I think I just needed a job. And this opportunity was easy because it was around the corner from my house and I just started. I need to do something.
Right.
There was no intention before to be a sign maker or something.
Understand.
There's no creativity for me back then in the signing business. Was just come to your work, do your car wrapping or your wall wrap or whatever, and that's it. Go home.
So when did you realize that it was wrapping you wanted to do?
Yes, that's a good... I cannot say I realized, but it just... It flew into my world, you know?
Right.
I cannot say it started from this point or that point. It just growth in my life. Yeah. It's hard to tell.
But what you really haven't talked about yet, and we're probably going to get into it later, is that you are a rapper, yes, but you are also a designer. And correct me if I'm wrong, but you do your designs all up in your head.
Yes, most times I do. Yeah, like the knifeless designs.
Yeah.
I create them. You know, it depends on if it's for a demo show. I can do like live demos without thinking it happens. But if, for example, Avery wants to do designing, I have to prepare something because I have a team behind me, like 4 people. And if they have to wait for my head to open, yeah, it's going to
take
long.
Coffee.
It's going to take a long time. So yeah, if I work alone, I would prefer like doing a design starting from nothing. But if I know before, like see my show or the Vespa, there's a team behind the whole schedule.
Right.
So I need to think, okay, he's going to do that part, this left, right, back. And then I go over and then he can do this. It's really complicated. Yeah.
Right. So you need to hand them the science for them to.
Yes. Yes. Because we cannot stand still on the booth. There needs to be action.
When it comes to inspiration, where do you get it? Do you just get it from? Because for me, you don't strike as someone that has gone a design school, or do you like art? Where does that all come from?
I think it's my mother is also. She's not an artist or something, but she likes to draw things. She's really into like objects and making shapes and stuff like drawings. And I started as a graffiti artist when I was 11. 12 years old. So maybe that's my background. I lived in Eindhoven, a small town, and just 5 minutes from my house, there was a graffiti wall. And the first time I went in that small hall of graffiti, I was like, this is awesome. And I was just 11. It was an eye opener for me. The first
time. This is for me, right?
Yes. And I watched the guys putting on the graffitis maybe for 2 years, you know, and then I started doing my graffiti myself.
I don't know if it's legal, but can you disclose your tag name?
It's I have a legal name. It's Sonic. Yeah. It's probably, you know, like the rapping scene. I was also famous in the graffiti scene. Yeah.
People still
know me.
Some graffiti here and there?
You know, I quit graffiti because, you know, you put something on a wall, on a legal wall, and they go over it in 1 week. So it's actually the same with a rap. I make a rap and it goes off in 1 hour, so it's even worse.
Yeah, over here in the shows, yeah.
This is a bad example.
Okay, so that seems to be a large way of, or a large
I think
part
so.
Of the inspiration for you.
And I did like not the traditional graffiti lettering, but more abstract lettering. It wasn't even, for the graffiti writers, it was possible to see my name, but for the normal people, it was more like a shape, an abstract shape, forms into each other with, which combined Sonic.
But wait, I gotta say that sounds to me, I've seen your designs, many of them. That also seems to be a part of your rap designs as well.
Yes.
It is a shape, but what it is, there's something more in there.
There's so much going on that you start staring at it and you stay focusing and like, wow, I never saw this thing or this, but that's what I like.
We have, just behind us, we have a Porsche by the Avery booth. That design is exactly what we're talking about, right?
I think so, yeah. I think so. I think the Avery people will come in at 10 o'clock and they still keep staring like, oh, this is super cool.
We're going to put pictures on that so you guys can see it. But you mind explaining really quick what is it we're looking at?
Yeah, we're looking at a Porsche, a 911. And Avery was talking with me to do a design on the car. A bad guy team a little bit, good guy, bad guy. So I was thinking, who's the good guy or the bad guy? So I thought maybe Transformers. So I told him, I was thinking metal, you know, metal, Transformers is metal. There's a new set in chrome from Avery now. So I was thinking we need to print Transformer on the metal because the Transformer is metal. And then they had the reflective. I was thinking black and white. So we printed the design on black and white on the back. And it just pops. If the flash hits that design, it's super cool. So the background is reflective. Front is set in chrome.
Explain to people, how many layers is it?
It's 1, 2, 3, 4. I think around 4 or 5. I keep forgetting. Yeah.
We'll put pictures so you guys see it if you don't see it beforehand.
Yes.
Okay. So if we try to go back, and now I think I understand it. Where your design ideas come from.
Because I stopped with graffiti at a certain point, I had so much creativity. I started designing for the tuning business, like small stripings.
Right.
I designed them in Photoshop and I print them on regular vinyl, like a full color print shape kind of. And we plotted them and we go to the meetings and we put them on the cars. I put like maybe 400, 500, 600 designs. But then that tuning business stopped. Mm-hmm. So I was thinking, how can I still do designing on a car? How am I going to do this? And then the selfie car came. Everybody knows the holographic Lamborghini I did. Mm. The guy was like, I need something special. And I saw the design in Japan, what the guys did with the holographic. Showed it to the customer. I said, I can do it better with more different shapes. and I did it. And after that one, all designs came in the shop.
We're gonna get there,
yeah.
But I think you left out a big part, and that's the part where you decide for yourself, okay, I wanna do this myself. I wanna go my way. Don't wanna work for someone else. What made you take that decision?
Because
it's a big decision to take.
Yes, yes. I think it. The second boss, I stopped after 1 year, and it made me think like I wanna do something different. Not like the 9 years for the first boss, second year for the other one. I started thinking there must be another way to do something on a creative base, but it takes time. It takes time. First, I had to find the right name because I'm really perfectionist. So if I'm doing it, I want to do it 100% or more. So I started thinking, okay, what name? And then Pro Rap came in my mind, like Pro Rap is professional car rapping, you know, Pro Rap.
So what year are we talking about? 2000?
This is 2000 and yeah, it's a good one. 10, I think. It's not that long ago. I started my Pro Rap business like maybe 6 years ago, I think. 6-7 years. Yeah.
So that means that your curve of expansion just went through
yeah,
the roof.
Booming. Yeah.
What do you think is the reason?
I think creating stuff that never been done before. Like you're an artist and you're making a new art, like people say, this is, I never saw this. And there's nobody in this business, in the car wrapping, in the signing, of course there is, but in the car wrap scene, it's really hard to find somebody who can create layers and it still looks nice.
Right.
You know,
not plotting the layers.
That's it. Yeah. Yeah. And they say, man, you can plot this also, but they say it's always different. You see that it's plotted. Or you see that it's knifeless design. That's the difference I create.
Wow.
Yeah.
So you start your business and you get your first big project that goes through the roof. And then after that, you can say that it just takes off.
I cannot say it was automatically, but after that selfie car, there were more opportunities.
Right.
Yeah.
And you've always done this from Holland, right?
Yes, always from my hometown. Yeah. Yeah. I started at home, of course, with a computer. And after that 1 year of working for my boss, I started doing like rapping things. But then my buddy has a glass tinting shop. So I was like, man, if you have a car wrap, you can put in our shop and do it over here, you know. But it was only for maybe 3 months.
Right.
Get so busy, I had to find a shop.
You out.
It kicked me out. And I needed a shop. So I was looking for a shop.
So I've talked to a lot of people, and some people think that they haven't been able to get into the business, the personal side of the business, personal wraps and all that, because the market isn't there.
Mm-hmm.
Correct me if I'm wrong. But Holland is not a big country, right?
No, it's super. You can drive 4 hours from top to bottom. So
I wouldn't presume Holland to be a country that has a lot of market for what the stuff you are doing.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking also.
Right.
But you have to, if there's no, how do I say, if there's nobody who can, who has the product,
yeah,
it's not going to happen. If there's no Avery matte chrome, you cannot wrap a car with Avery matte chrome because the color not exists.
Right.
But if there's somebody who can create something that is possible, and you have to create a demand and you find the right people, then it's going to happen. But it's tough.
So you make the market.
I think we can create the market. Not especially me, but you have to have a different thinking. Don't
right.
give up, I think. It takes time. You cannot expect like 1 month, 1 year or 2 years, or it takes time and finding the right people, I think. And Holland is small and we still have a lot of competition. In my town, Eindhoven, we have maybe 20 other people, sign shops who also do car wrapping. But luckily we have the right customers who just bring their car with a trailer, 2.5 hours. They drive to our shop.
It's word of mouth, right?
Yes.
People just tell each other.
Yeah,
you came into a really important part of the business, and that is you are huge on Instagram. You have a lot of followers and people that see what you do. And if you look at your Instagram account, one can easily think, oh man, this guy just hit it off. It's just off the roof. He started it off and it all went up the roof. Because that's the idea people usually tend to get.
Of course, there's yeah. always a negative thing behind everything, you know.
That's right. But do you mind telling us, I'm guessing you've had a lot of struggles that might not be seen. Is there any special struggles you've had in this business that you thought that you've learned from, that you mind sharing with other rappers?
Wow. This is interesting. It sounds strange, but I didn't have many struggles. The only thing with struggles was that eventually I needed my wife in the business. and she doesn't like rapping. Still not. And she tries, you know, she tries. So she is in the business now for 2.5 years. It's better to work, but you're working every day together.
Right.
So that's...
Is that a struggle sometimes?
Of course. Of course. It's not a super struggle, but we came along very well together. So, yeah.
You need to tell people, because people maybe don't know this. It's only you and your wife, right?
Yes, at the moment. Yeah. Yeah. Of course, we have a lot of people coming over because we're huge on Instagram and Facebook. People see our stuff and they think, wow, we need to go like a tourist, you know. They want to visit our shop. Yeah, it's crazy.
You have
sometimes.
A cool shop.
I know, but it's not like I like that people come over, you know, and they say, yeah, we can help out, you know, do some car wraps, but how do I know you're good, you know? So it's right. tough to say to somebody like, man, there's just no time, or I cannot have people now. You know, I even keep my clients a little bit away from the shop by saying, just send me an email. You know, don't come to the shop to check out the color. Write me an email. I will give you the price. If the price is right, check the color. We can make an appointment, do payment. That's how we have to work now.
Because you're so busy.
Yeah, I cannot have people around. We're still with two people. So if people come around every day, constantly.
Yeah, because besides doing the raps, you're also doing Avery stuff as well.
Also, it's not extremely much, but I, you know, if Avery asked me for a show, SEMA or Vespa or Viscom or demos or something, I'm into it. But I prefer there's always a little bit of distance between the shows. If there's a show in March and in April, I will just do one show because I cannot do both shows for designing. It just takes a lot of brain thinking. It's exhausting sometimes to think and think. You know, I have to think so much before. It's not like, here's the roll, the print, put it on, finished.
Do it.
Do it. There's so much behind.
It's not an on-off button, right?
Yeah.
So, you get bigger and bigger every year within the wrapping business for specialized cars and whatever. Where do you think you want to take this?
For me, I'm happy as it is like now. I don't want to change everything. We have the right customers. We have the right projects. If it stays stable like this, I'm happy.
Do you think that... Let's talk a little bit about customers here. What do you think your customers appreciate the most with you?
I think that we're dedicated. And we're still a small company.
Right.
And they see that we really like our job. We're not a big company with 15 people. Who push 15 car wraps a week. That's what we say to our customers. We have a higher price, of course, but we still have quality. And if there's a problem with a car, because that's normal, we're gonna fix it really fast. And the companies that are really busy, they don't have time to fix stuff. They say, this is the quality, just deal with it. And we fix everything. There's no bad review online. Nobody talks bad, and that's what I like.
So you take care of the failures that do come up, because they come up,
yes,
as quickly as possible.
Yes, we do. That's the biggest point. Fix your shit fast, so people can talk
painless.
Bad about it. Yes,
painless. Fast.
You need to.
If we go back, do you think that that your customers appreciate that, knowing that, okay, I know it's Joffrey that's gonna be at my car. It's him that's gonna do the cuts. It's him that's gonna put the. Because yeah, many of us out here. Many rappers, I think, don't know where they want to take it. Do they want to have a large rapping shop with a lot of rappers, or do they want to go small and be focused?
I think you have two sides.
Right.
Or get the big money and don't do what you like and get all the business, everything, or stay small, stay focused, and do what you like. It's, you work like, most people work like 6 days a week, so I prefer do less work and still have a normal life.
I was talking to another guy in the business and he brought an interesting point. He said, I don't believe it that it's possible to be an awesome rap shop owner and also be an awesome rapper.
That's stupid. No, sorry. I don't know who said it. Sorry, man, but that's not, no, it wasn't, no.
It's good. Give me why you think that.
I know what I'm doing. That's what I like. And right. We're still a small shop. People don't understand, but I think it's also the combination of having the right people behind you.
Right.
Maybe it's in other countries different, you know. It's they want to do something, but it's not there. There's no market for it. That's possible. I'm talking from my country. I think in our country, we have a lot of rich people because Holland, like Netherlands, has a big name worldwide. You know, like the economy and the industry, and it's has a lot of things in the future, you know, and the past market, also.
So the market has helped you.
Yes. Yeah, for sure. And it's getting bigger in Holland. Don't know where the money comes from. It's crazy.
It's just there.
It's just there.
All right, cool. So where do you see the future of the industry going?
I think it's not gonna change dramatically. Mm-hmm. But I think eventually like Avery or 3M is gonna think more like OEM colors. That people can just order a black car, they can wrap it, paint is protected, and they can still wrap it in an OEM color, like a factory color. I think that's gonna happen.
How far away do you think we are, if you have to guess?
I think in now and maybe 3-4 years, that's gonna change. Maybe 30%, 20% more vinyls that are OEM colors. I think so.
You think so?
Yeah. Look at what Avery did with the Colorflow series. I know like 10 years ago, my brother had a scooter in a chameleon paint and it was 6,500 euros. And back then it was impossible to get vinyl. Right. And look now, they have the glossiest of all, the Colorflow series. It's so nice. I couldn't imagine that was in vinyl, and now there is. Yeah.
I agree. You work a lot, right?
No, not extremely much. It looks like I'm working a lot, but I prefer 4 days a week.
Oh.
Sounds strange, but yeah.
If it works for you, man.
Yeah, it works for me. It works for me. But we make some long days. We start at 8 and we stop at maybe 8, 9 o'clock sometimes. But we prefer 8 till 6,
right.
6:30.
But I'm still guessing that you do get a lot of... You do get a lot of stress.
My stress is if you have a lot of cars from the dealer, right. They need to be finished sometimes on time, like a PPF job or a rep. That's a little bit of stress.
How do you unwind?
Yeah, I think my unwinding is that I'm doing a design or go to a show or vacation, of course. Just flee from the shop. And don't
flee from the reps.
And don't pick up my phone. That's the best.
Is that possible?
Like now I have 20 messages. I have to call people back. So I don't want to think about it too much. You know, if it's important, they text me or they just leave a voicemail. If not, it's okay.
So I thought I was going to ask you some quick questions. You don't have to give me a quick answer. That's not.
No, it's cool.
But what do you love rapping the most?
Like a car or
whatever.
We only do cars.
You only do cars.
We don't do nothing else. We do no signing, no scooters, no quads. If somebody comes in the shop and they want a scooter wrapped or whatever, I say we only do cars. It's even on my website.
So I'm gonna put you in the spot here. What car model do you like rapping the most? Doesn't have to be all time. Maybe at the moment.
I think the Audi is a really good look. Like the RS5, RS6 has a really good shape, and It's not
monstrous
specific.
Shape.
It is. It's not especially that it has a lot of horsepower, but the shape is, the color is always good. If it's gloss or satin or matte, it looks with the Sharpie angles, really, really, really cool. Yeah.
Touché.
Yeah.
So what is your go-to tool?
My?
Go-to tool, the tool you always use, the one you love the most.
You know, I think we cannot work without the FlexStream from Avery. We need this tool. We need this tool for rubbers lifting and everything. You know, a lot of other shops try to copy that tool, create like 10% different, but it's still, I think, the best tool ever developed by a guy I know. So it's, I don't want to say his name.
Let's not name. But thank you out there for doing, for coming
yes,
up.
Yes.
So I have to put you in the spot once again. What is your favorite color at the moment? And I know I see you and you are wearing an Avery Dennison shirt and all, but...
My favorite color? Wow, that's difficult. Oh, man. It's so hard to say. I like to combine everything, so... I like...
You have to pick one color.
Okay, then I think I'm going to redo my car soon in the satin chrome of Avery. You know, everybody laminated this before with matte lamination, but it was really thick. And now it's higher, you know, wider, and I like this color. Like, it's like a metal.
Like a metal finish, right? Yeah. It is really beautiful.
And it's not a sponsored deal, this. It's not
a Let's just be clear with that. He has to pay the role.
Yeah.
All right. So what project are you most proud of?
Yes. Most proud of, yeah. Let's see. I think most proud design was for me the BMW i8 design. I did the M striping on that one. Mm-hmm. And the client came in the shop. He said, I have a BMW and I need an M striping that's never developed. Here's the car. Bye. So I was like, okay, this is cool. Just give me 2 weeks. And I made that design, full knifeless, of course, knifeless design. And after that, the whole world texted me about that design, like from Canada to Japan, New Zealand, the dealers. They say, okay, just send us the set. But I say, no, it's not a set, it's full knifeless. So you have to fly me in. So this was so interesting that I think maybe 100 people called me after that one worldwide because they really liked that design. And of course, people copied the design after, but not the same as I did.
I gotta ask you this question. Where were you without knifeless? What did you do?
I think I was still here.
Are you good at the knife?
Yes. You know, we all know there's a thing going on with knifeless and Avery and 3M. I don't care. But at the show here at the Vespa, I didn't use knifeless at all. And it still looks, I think, cool. We can cut on the car, but it's not going to be as super tight as with knifeless. You know, making a straight line only from putting tape on the car, put the vinyl over and cut it besides the tape is not going to be really sharp. So I always say if we don't use knifeless, it's always going to be a little bit off, you know, not perfect. But I like perfect, but it's a difficult situation, which is going to change in the future, I think.
It's like the Flexi tool. I mean, they're fucking awesome. It is what it is.
Yeah.
It is. So, what project has been the hardest for you? The one that can come up in mind.
Yeah, it sounds strange, but for me, the hardest is the PPF jobs that we do on the supercars. The client brings a 800,000 supercar. You know, PPF is never perfect. They say this before. I have to say to my customers also, it's a solution. It doesn't get better, the paint. So there's always something in the vinyl, like dust or a stretch line. It's never going to be perfect.
Right.
I'm a perfectionist. And PPF is never perfect. That's my only thing that I sometimes hate about PPF.
So that's why you don't want to do it.
And still the customers come because they know we do a better job with PPF because we put more time in the PPF jobs.
Yeah, PPF is hard.
I know. Yeah.
Is there someone you look up to in the industry that maybe has taught you something?
I think we have a few people. We have a few people in the business, I think. Like, we have like Justin Pate. You know, he does his Rap Institute, which is super cool. Worldwide fame. We have Rapper Mapper. He has the biggest database in the world. So I think there are a few people who are in the top five of most, I won't say important or influenced, but we all know them. That's what I want to say.
I'm guessing you mean that there's people that are moving the industry towards the future.
Yes, and we need these people.
Right.
Just think if they're not here.
You know you're one of them, right?
Probably. If they're not here, it's not different, but we need these people also to look up to maybe and as a base.
I mean, I can only agree. It's, to me, you are one of those people because you push the boundaries when it comes to design to points where people haven't thought of it yet. And that gives, that's why you get 100 calls after you put out a design.
Yeah. I think so. Yeah.
Yeah. And I gotta say thank you for that, for pushing the industry.
No problem, man.
So I'm about to wrap things up. We're actually here in Fespan. People are starting to come. So what's next for you?
Next for me is, I still have a deal in Qatar, in Saudi Arabia. So I have to go there every year, 3 weeks, separate weeks. So I have to go to Qatar soon. We probably have a RapsCon.
You can tell what, can you tell us what you do at Qatar?
The Qatar is just, it's a shop, from a customer, and he has a detail shop and a rap shop, tint shop, and he just wants me to be there to do demos. So they have a show in Qatar. He flies me in. We do some demos at the show. All the rich people come with their cars, and they get a lot of attention. So they have more work.
Right.
And I train the
promotion,
and I train the people. I check the people in the shop. If they make mistakes, I can correct them. Do it like this or this. Just helping to develop.
It's interesting.
Yeah.
And you said also RapsCon, right? Maybe.
Yeah, we're working on that one. I think it's a little bit too close with SEMA.
Right.
Because I don't want to do too much designing on RapsCon. Maybe just visit or do a small thing, but I don't want to put all my energy into that.
Now the question is, can you do small?
No.
No.
Maybe only a hood. Give me a hood.
You'll start asking for probably the parts of the car then. All right, so that's been thanks with you. If people want to find you or follow you on social media, where do they need to go?
We have Instagram, of course, Joffrey _ ProRap. You can find us, and on Facebook also, ProRap Professional Car Wrapping. Most times I post more on Instagram because it's a bigger range.
Right.
And the Facebook page is more for the Dutch people,
right,
which we already have a lot of customers in, so I prefer Instagram.
I'm guessing how many? You have about 20% of the Dutch people in the world
on Facebook. I think so. All the sign makers.
I'm going to give you an opportunity now, and that is for you to tell the rapping world whatever you want. You can leave them with wisdom, you can leave them with whatever. What would you like to tell them?
I'm going to be honest.
Right.
Some people work too hard. If I see around, I meet a lot of people.
Right.
And I think the rapping is, you know, they're super dedicated. Everybody's dedicated. I'm also dedicated. But it's also a second life we have. Like family, you know. Maybe you have a kid. So try to think there's also something behind the rapping scene. We can work till death, I think, a lot of people. But there's also, you have to think, besides the rapping, there's also family. So that's one I give to the rappers.
It feels like a great way to leave the pod now.
I think so.
With that advice. Joffrey, I don't know what to tell you more than thank you very much. It's been a true pleasure.
No problem.
Speaking with you. I hope we do a second round further down.
Yes, of course.
And it's been totally unexpected doing it here in Fespa.
Yeah.
It was super awesome.
Cool. Yeah, man.
So, Joffrey, thank you very much from the bottom of my heart.
No problem.
Thanks for being a part of the show.
Okay. See you soon.
Bye.
So, before I bid you all off goodbye, I would like to extend a very special thank you for Tim Evans from the Rapper Mapper. He took some awesome pictures of us, both me and Joffrey, while we were doing the pod, and they looked awesome. Tim, thank you very much for all. You are an awesome photographer, a true teacher of the fine art of taking photos, and an all-around great guy to hang around with. Thank you.